The prison break in which suspected insurgents escaped from Sarposa jail in Kandahar was stunning for more than one reason. The detainees spent months digging a tunnel. Hundreds of them filed out through it, and no one did anything to stop them. As the governor of Kandahar told us yesterday, how they pulled it off warrants an investigation. This jailbreak comes 3 years after another one at Sarposa, and that one prompted Canada to spend millions of dollars fixing up the prison and training its staff, all, it would seem, to no avail. Graham Smith is a reporter for the Globe and Mail, and he's been following this story closely. We reached him in Quetta, Pakistan.
Graham, is it possible that no one knew about this escape plan before the jailbreak happened?
No, absolutely not. The court has been saying that it took 5 months to excavate this 360-meter-long tunnel, big enough for many, many people to crawl through. The government says the tunnel is even longer, and one way or another, you're talking about a lot of earth, talking about a big operation. And even inside the jail itself, prisoners are supposed to be locked down every night around 9 p.m., and the jailbreak started, some reports say, about 10:30, some say 11 p.m., and so somehow the prisoners got out of their cells after hours. And somehow, throughout this entire evening, in one of the highest security facilities in Kandahar, nobody bothered to check, it seems, on the prisoners as they spent at least 4 hours escaping. So, no, it's really not possible that all this could have gone down without attracting some kind of notice.
The Taliban actually put out a press release saying that they managed to get everybody out, and it was about, they said, 4 or 5 hours before that anyone inside the prison seemed to have noticed that they were missing. Is that possible?
Yeah, the Taliban say that they had everybody out by sort of the middle of the night, sometime between 3 and 4 in the morning. And it wasn't until after daybreak, maybe about 7:30 in the morning, that anybody raised the alarm. We managed to get a hold of a prison official at Sarposa who spoke on condition of anonymity, and he said, look, you know, that's just not possible without the collusion of some of my colleagues, sadly, you know, and he wasn't proud of that fact, but it does appear that to some extent, anyways, this was a job.
Now, as far as what happened outside of the prison and the actual civilian population around the prison in Kandahar, if there was so much dirt being dug out of this tunnel, and apparently they were just taking it into town, they were digging it up and taking it to town, selling it, but many people would have seen them doing that. Why do you think no one in the town alerted the authorities that this was going on?
Well, this is what I find so fascinating, actually, is that, you know, the area around Sarposa prison and the prison itself, you know, have in some ways a case study for counterinsurgent strategy. It's a, you know, that whole area is heavily guarded. You know, Canadians have been focusing on protecting the western approach to Kandahar City and pushing the Taliban back away from the western side of the city. Since about 2006, it's been, you know, the bulk of Canada's effort in Kandahar. At the prison itself, you know, we've spent millions of dollars, about $5 million allotted to fix up the prison and train the staff. That whole question of whether you can win hearts and minds, whether you can persuade people that that you're not so bad after all by making them feel safe and by doing useful things in those areas, that whole theory seems to fall apart a little bit when you use this supposed prison break as a case study.
When we spoke with the governor of Kandahar yesterday about the prison break, he said that the all this money that was spent, much of it Canadian, was spent making the place more human, putting nicer bathrooms in, more natural light. The way he described it was so pleasant, you'd wonder why they would leave. But his point, I guess, was that he said that not enough of the money was spent on upgrading security. It was more a response to some of the articles you exposed. You broke the story about how badly people were being treated in there. Do you think that too much of the money was spent on trying to make it nice and not enough spent on security?
No, I think this governor is falling into the same trap that we fell into last time, which is pick on specific twists and turns. We should have dodged left instead of right, or right instead of left, rather than looking at the bigger picture. After the last prison break, the NDS, the notoriously brutal intelligence service in Afghanistan, offered a detailed report on what should be changed in terms of prison security, and it was all very minor, mundane, ground-level stuff. It didn't address any of the broader kind of fundamental issues at play here. And Canada went ahead and fixed those things. Canada did actually a very good job of, you know, fixing the gates, building better towers, strengthening the walls, you know, putting in better lighting, you know, things just as basic as making sure that the chunks of masonry didn't fall down on the prisoners while they were sleeping. All those things got fixed by the Canadians. And so what's so puzzling about this is that despite all those fixes, despite all those changes, that this could still happen.
All right, Graham, we'll be following this as best we can. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.